Welcome to this, the first podcast that I'm doing about essentially how the training for my trip to China is going. People who followed me on Twitter will know that I employed Caroline Stewart of CS Cycle Coaching to try and guide me through the trip. And to give you really some kind of basis from where we were starting from, the furthest I could cycle was an hour and a half, and that was mainly through stubbornness rather than actual talent or fitness. I'm about 60 pounds heavier than I was when I raced because, you know, as you all know, I've talked about it so often, I had my hip replaced, got fat before the hip was replaced, all that kind of stuff. So, Caroline, I didn't give you really a very good starting point to deal with, did I?
No, but it's a baseline. So
it's a very low baseline.
From which the only way theoretically is up. So, yeah, not a problem at all. Everyone has to start somewhere.
It's funny, actually, because I think my big problem, because once I got the hip replaced, I expected to just be able to cycle, to enjoy the sport as I had before. But in fact, I didn't. And it's taken me, 3 years now to find a love of the sport again. And I think it's because I'm quite goal-oriented. And the goal of riding to see my son, given the current COVID crisis in China, was one that really quite inspired me. And that's what made me, you know, move forward. But it's a very long-term thing. How did you, when I first approached you, how did you sit down and think through the initial process?
Well, using the fact that you're goal-orientated makes kind of the earlier part slightly easier because I'm putting sessions in front of you that have a degree of pressure to complete because, you know, you're paying for my services. It'd be silly not to do the sessions that are put in front of you. So that gives me, in a very micro term, an insight into the fact that you're going to get stuff done if I put it in front of you. Mm-hmm. From there, it's just, as we were talking about a minute ago, it's all about getting you, firstly, back on the bike and just getting used to being back on the bike and enjoying being back on the bike.
And that's actually been achieved.
Building it up.
Yeah. You know, that's the amazing thing is I'm not going to lie, the first 3 or 4 weeks, and we're, 7 weeks into it now?
Yeah, 7 weeks.
The first 3 or 4 weeks was an absolute chore.
Good.
Wasn't enjoying the bike. It was hard work. And then one day I went out and actually felt briefly, vaguely like a cyclist again. And I think what you've been really good at in setting goals in, you know, short term, even week by week, is giving me something that if I achieve it, gives me that pleasure. You know, the kind of, I've got a goal, I've actually done it. You know, that session looked brutally hard. I didn't think I was going to be able to do it. And I've managed it. And I think that's one of the things you really gain from a coach is they kind of look at you and rather than you setting goals for yourself, they can challenge you a wee bit more than you can yourself.
Absolutely. It's a lot easier for somebody from the outside with a bit of knowledge and, you know, understanding of how the training can be used to set something that if you yourself were sitting down thinking, oh, I'll go out and do something, you'll do less.
Yeah.
The coach will always push you that little bit more and there'll be structure and there'll be, as you said, the kind of the micro goals within a session. So just the completion of it.
Yeah.
And then the progression, which is the other bit. It's taking that session and building on it. So over the coming weeks, you'll see sets of sessions that you'll be familiar with from stuff that you've done in the first couple of weeks and stuff that you'll be doing over the next couple of weeks. And you'll be seeing the either the volume or the intensity, depending on the type of session, gradually building. But the building will be based on the progression that you've made at this point. Because there's no sense me ramping it up, just going, right, okay, he's back on the bike, he's doing work, let's crank it up. It has to be progressive. And I mean, the hip's a perfect example. We didn't know how that was going to respond. And over the course of the last couple of weeks, we've gained, specifically the last couple of weeks, rather than the first four, because the first four was just, it was literally get me back on the bike. But we started to see how it's responding to load. Mm-hmm. And we're changing the plan accordingly. So we're building more more frequent rests around that to support, to support the hips, specifically the muscle recovery. And as again, something that you mentioned to me earlier, the activation of the muscle.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing which I think was the trigger for, I expected a lot of problems with the muscle after the hip surgery, because they cut through, you know, massive muscle groups. There's risk of nerve damage, which affects muscle activation, all of that kind of thing. And I think for me, it was, you know, the first month was focused on just getting back in the bike, I should say. Great fun once I'd got used to it. And now we're starting to wander into modern things that for an old tester like me is actually, it's heaven, where we're looking at power. We're actually measuring things so that we can get really smart about the training going forward. I think what really did for my my leg, and it has been a challenge the last couple of weeks and we've worked together around it, was actually the first FTP test.
Yes.
To get the baseline for power. And that was a 20-minute effort, essentially like riding a 10 for you know, UK testers. And I think my muscle with that really sustained effort, it was the first time it had been put under proper strain. And it's got to be said, the leg with the hip has been problematic and we're working around that just now. But been to see a physio, biomechanically, it's all fine. It's just weak. So we know what we're working with. And again, the advantage of having a coach, you're tweaking the sessions to work within the limitations that we've discovered.
Yeah, and the introduction of metrics. So we'll be going to a power-based pedal system to back up the fact that you're using a smart trainer. So we did the test on the trainer. But on the road, you'll have the power-based system, which will give you dual readings. So we can also start looking at the imbalance and the combination of looking at what's loading up what, plus working with your physio. I think that'll help us as well with where we go forward. Also, talking about things that motivate you, the ability to put data understandably back in front of you helps motivate you forward, because that's the kind of thing, I mean, you're an ex-tester, that's the sort of stuff that you live off of. It's all about numbers. So the ability to start putting that and putting it back to you in a clearly understandable format, I think is, in this case, absolutely key.
Yeah, I mean, the FTP test would have been better measured in kilograms per watt than watts per kilogram, I think. But you're exactly right. Just having that data, whatever number you start with, that's where you can improve from. If you measure things, you can improve them. You know, it's the same with when we used to do, before wind tunnels, you know, roll down tests for aerodynamics. The numbers tell you what's better. They tell you you're improving. They tell you I'm stupidly excited about training with power, actually. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes. And just to answer off a couple of questions that we had on Twitter about the testing, with the FTP test, we went for the very simple 20-minute for a couple of reasons. One, because of your background as a tester, the fact that it's supposed to be a steady state effort and you can pace into that, whether you do a slight negative split, was really good.
Weak but consistent.
Consistency is good. That gives us a figure to work from. But you know, some of the other people were asking about things like ramp tests and things like that. A ramp test is brilliant. It's more accurate in so much as an FTP test is always only ever going to be based on approximations anyway. Mm-hmm. The mathematical models are based on the asymptotic curve of power output, and a point on that is your functional threshold. But a ramp test with your hip and medical history working you to failure would be counterproductive.
Yeah. And in fact, I've done them in the past. We used to go to the sports science unit at the Pleasance, and you'd sit on an ergometer and get somebody pricking your finger, you know, as they ramped up the watts in the ergometer. I always felt like falling off the bike and being sick afterwards. I mean, I wouldn't want Ailsa or the dog to have to clean that up.
No. It's if you're not feeling like collapse at the end of a ramp test, as far as I'm concerned, you haven't done it properly. It's why it's best done in lab conditions and why I tend not to use them for athletes I work with who are at home, because, you know, I don't want someone collapsing in their garage or their, you know, their dedicated turbo room that they've just built and just lying there twitching, waiting for someone to find them. That seems, again, counterproductive.
Yeah, I think you're right. I tell you, one of the things which is really, I've had a lot of chats with people since I started this journey, and it is a journey. I mean, we've talked about probably five or six things which I need to work on, even though, as I said to you, you know, we're not tuning a Ferrari here. It's just, we talked about that when we first started. finding a coach that suits your temperament is vitally important. I mean, I know lots of good coaches, not least, you know, Colin Batchelor, who was, you know, the head of Team 22, who we sponsored for so many years.
I know Colin, he's a good friend.
No, he's a great friend to me as well. But he's, and this isn't a criticism of you, the numbers thing, the data thing, the talking about things analytically, when we talked about tech, which is how we met each other, you know, in tech podcasts, you worked at Cycle Systems Academy, your mindset kind of gelled with mine. There was a kind of an almost just get it done attitude, whereas Colin is more of the kind of coaxy type of coach. And you have to find somebody who suits you, but when you do, it's really important. And I don't think... I mean, we were talking yesterday, and I said to you, whatever the challenges we've had, just in my general fitness, going out with the dog, I'm 10 minutes quicker up Cadmere Hill than I was. You know, my general fitness feels much better. So if this journey fails, you know, if we get 6 months down the line and my hip, you know, precludes the journey that I'm planning, it'll still have been worth it because my quality of life after 6 weeks is better than it was, you know, during lockdown.
Yeah,
there's
absolutely.
So much you can achieve by finding the right coach and working together.
Yeah, the whole thing about personalised coaching, which is what we're talking about here, personalised performance coaching, is the coaching needs to be specific to the individual. That's kind of taken as read. Obviously, you know, the sessions are based on and adapted by the person you're working with. But the second part of that personalised bit is the communication and the coach-athlete relationship. Because, you know, I work with, you know, a wide range of riders who all have different goals, and I need to approach them in some cases in different ways. And some people need a little bit more coaxing. Some people need a little more direction. So personalizing the coaching to the athlete is absolutely vital. And yeah, you can have the best coach in the world, and if you as a person don't get along with them, then yeah, you look at another coach. And I've, you know, I've seen that with coaching colleagues in the past, and, you know, a couple of clients I've worked with in the past. Sometimes the coaching works fine, but the athlete coach relationship isn't as productive as it could be, and the person will do better with another coach. And yeah, you have to understand that. So it's really good when you find someone who, you know, will provide the coaching that works for you on a personal level.
Yeah.
Both, you know, the actual content of the coaching and the delivery.
I tell you, one thing that really surprised me, and we're not going to go into individual sessions, not because there's any secret or, you know, anything. It's just science. You know, the personal bit's separate. Because one size fits all programs don't work. So discussing what I'm doing is utterly pointless for listeners. What they'd need would likely be very, very different. Can I just say one thing that really surprised me though? Is we're starting from a very low base. I'm expecting just get on your bike and ride for 6 months. Very soon a word that I used to fear when I raced appeared, and it was intervals. It terrified me. You know, and the thing is, they've probably pushed my fitness quicker. It's just I didn't expect it. You know, I thought we'd have the old pyramid thing, you know, where you've got the massive base where you do nothing or very little for a very long time and then, you know, ramp it up to get into form. Having some intensity early actually has really helped my head rather than just sitting being bored on a bike.
Yeah, I mean, the part of the other part of the first 4 weeks was to get you used to the concept of doing structured training and structured training sessions, especially getting used to doing things like sitting on a smart turbo. Because that, if you're just doing volume on a turbo, is that's, you know, tantamount to cruel and unusual punishment. So you have to make it interesting, you have to break it up. But also, well, very few hills that you're going to come on are completely flat, or sorry, completely smooth ramps with an absolutely constant gradient. There will be times where, you know, the gradient will increase, sometimes sharply, and you need to be able to accommodate that as well. So working on some of your short-term powers and just building that up, so building some muscle strength in there, building the response for those shorter-term powers. Again, we're not talking about turning you into, you know,
Primoz Roglic.
Primoz Roglic or Chris Hoy.
Yeah.
But we're talking about being able to support those things. And doing it now means, for example, on your longer ride, where we are building that volume, if you're going out into the hills, you don't hit a hill and, you know, hit a little bit of a ramp in it and suddenly go, oh, jeez.
Yeah. And I've noticed that already.
So it's, yeah.
You know, 7 weeks in, I've noticed that already. So it's clearly working. Caroline,
yeah.
I talk to you a lot. If other mm-hmm. people want to talk to you, where can they find you and your business?
The easiest thing is at CSC Coaching on Twitter. I'm also on Twitter at SwordPanda. Either of those works probably the easiest. I'll see that most often.
Yeah, and I mean, I've gone on for years and years about how people spend, you know, $3,000 in a set of wheels, 400 quid in a handlebar, you know, just ridiculous amounts of money and things which will save them ounces. If you spend a far smaller amount of money on coaching, you'll go a lot faster than that handlebar will help you go. It's, I mean, it's intangible money because you don't get that sexy carbon thing in your hand. But if you actually want to go faster or longer on a bike, coaching's the best value investment you can make.
I'm not going to disagree.
Well, I did it. You know, I mean, that's all. I'm walking the walk. Caroline, I'm really grateful for where we are so far. We had a good long chat before we started recording, and we know where we're going for the next month. We're going to try and catch up once a month to keep people updated. Talk about the challenges we've faced that month, how things are going. I've got to say, after 7 weeks, I'm delighted. We've run into problems, but I'm further on than I thought I would be. I expected the problems to be bigger, and you've been a vital part of that. Thank you.
No problem at all. You're welcome.